All right, folks, it's that time on Friday. We start Sports Talk. We get our view from the north. It's got you covered. NBC Sports Northwest, talking ball, talking Ducks, talking Blazers, talking Seahawks. Online, it's NBCSports.com/Northwest. On Twitter, use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how's life treating you these days?
Life is treating me just fine, man. I'm kind of chilling on vacay, hanging out, not doing anything. My son is baseball this week. You know, I've been catching up on our Cubs season, playing 4 or 5 baseball games a day on MLB The Show. Thinking my wife's like, he can't play video games all day. I'm like, yeah, he can, because he's playing with me. Leave us alone.
Well, actually,
we have a pennant to win, damn it.
I love when people say, well, you can't, and it's like, I'm doing just that. So the can't word's not applicable here.
Exactly.
One Seahawk note, because I was reading some of what you wrote, and obviously the defense has now pretty much been transformed, Legion of Boom. Certain guys got older, others have moved on. And you wrote about this fascinating story that is Shaquem Griffin, fifth-round pick, the draft before this, came along slowly last year. For the folks that don't know, he was the young man who was born without the use of his left hand, but just a testament to stick-to-itiveness and grit and heart. So if you could tell us kind of like what was his role last year and what do you see as a change for 2019?
First, let me to give you an example of how much into vacation mode I am. When you brought that up and said you wrote something about Shaquem Griffin, my initial reaction was, I did? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I remember that now. okay. He basically got himself into the draft at all because of his speed off the edge and his ability to run down, you know, pass rush, run down, you know, the running game from the backside, and of course chase down the quarterback and apply pressure, et cetera, et cetera. That got him drafted despite the fact that he was born without his left hand. Great story, et cetera, et cetera. What happened last year, though, is that he ended up starting opening day because K.J. Wright was out, and they discovered right away that he simply was not ready to be a starting linebacker in the true linebacker sense right out the gate. And that's why they went out and got Michael Kendricks to start in place of K.J. Wright. And, of course, those guys are back along with Wagner, who was going to sign at some point. So now they went out and they drafted a couple of linebackers who are true linebackers. So now they have enough linebackers that they can move Shaquem to his more desired position of the quote-unquote edge, where you're out in basically a wide nine technique, you're setting the edge, you're speed rushing, given you know that tackle fits or forcing a back to pick you up, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what he excels at. And he's so happy. He basically said, I'm ecstatic to be back out there doing what I do. But he did say he was a little rusty because he basically almost took a year off of doing that because he was playing a stacked linebacker in their 4-3 defense. And so, but now he gets to be wide again. They need that because they lost Frank Clark. They traded him to Kansas City. The guy they drafted, L.J. Collier, is going to be more of a 5-technique defensive end. He's not going to be a wide guy. That's why they went out and got Ezekiel Ansa from Detroit, who could be ready by the start of the season. His shoulder is healing up quite well, according to Pete Carroll, but they're going to need depth on that edge, and plus you need someone opposite him as well. And so Shaquem is back in his haven of coming off the edge and chasing down quarterbacks. He's very happy to be there, and we'll see how it pans out for him.
Yeah, easiest guy in the world to root for.
As
far as the NBA, before last year, it looked like Bol Bol of the Ducks would at least be a lottery pick. Then this season happened. He got hurt, started to drop. Some worried about his frame. So from a top 10 or a top 15 all the way down to 44, how surprising was this? And what did you make of his being literally he was the last guy in the green room?
Well, what's odd is that there wasn't much talk about him dropping like that.
Right.
Was there? Did I miss
it?
No,
you did not.
Yeah, and they invited him to the green room, and he wore that awesome Spider-Man suit, and then said he wasn't much of a Spider-Man fan. He just liked the suit. I guess it wasn't a Spider-Man suit. It was a spider web suit that people infer as being Spider-Man. But it was cool, whatever it was. I want it. Sorry, it's a little too long for me, but I would try and wear it. But can you imagine if I showed up at the press box with that? Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, it was shocking. And he's so skilled and talented for a big guy. But during the draft, I started seeing on Twitter and seeing reports that people were saying he got some bad medicals. Like, there were some problems with his knees. Someone was talking about how he compared them to Brandon Roy's knees. He has degenerative problems that are probably more further along than Roy was coming out of college. And so if you're looking at a guy who's coming off a foot injury, he has bad knees, he's tall, he's really skinny, what can you really do with him? The only really saving grace he has, kind of, given his skinny frame, is that he can shoot it, so you definitely can use him as a stretch five if you want. But what does he give you on defense? And I think a lot of teams are just like, I'm not going to bother with it. But he did land somewhere. He'll have a chance to prove himself. And if he does, he'll actually get the free agency quicker with a second-round pick.
Right.
But the other guy, I'm sure you're going to bring up, Lewis and King, that's even more of a mystery.
Yeah, well, the weird thing there is, with Bowl, started great, got hurt, okay. But with King, started hurt, really was a key guy who helped him get all the way to the Sweet 16 with that skill set. He doesn't even get drafted. I mean, how shocking was that?
Well, yeah, because now I remember there was a point where he wasn't on very many mock drafts. But again, as I always say, mock drafts don't mean all that much. They're put up by, you know, guys basically in our business who follow the NBA and kind of do this guesswork. They're not what the scouts necessarily believe and or are saying, but they are what they are. And they're usually, you know, semi-accurate in terms of you have 60 guys in your two-round mock draft. Most of them will actually get drafted. But he started to move up after a good tournament performance, and some had him late first round even. So, but forget all that, he had to have gone out and gotten information on where he would go in the draft. Otherwise, why would you go all in on entering the NBA draft? It wouldn't make any sense for you to do so. So I'm wondering if he just got bad information, or if maybe he knew he was leaving all along. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, guys, when they know they're going to leave, they don't take school as seriously, and then they kind of have to go.
Right.
I've heard that numerous times in football. Like, is so-and-so leaving? Yeah, really? You think so? Well, I think he has to at this point. Hear how he goes to class. I've heard that before. I won't name any names, but I've heard that story before at Oregon. But I feel badly for him because, man, I still believe had he come back and done what I think everyone believed he would have done in his second year, he would have played his way firmly into the first round. And then to not get picked at all. Like, really? Like, he didn't. That's just so now. I mean, to make a team as a non-drafted player is so difficult. He may end up having to go to Europe. It's gonna be a long road for him, and it's too bad because, man, he could have done some great things at Oregon next season.
No question about it. Talking with Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest. So your Bulls. 35 years ago, they had a two-guard from North Carolina fall into their lap when the Blazers took Sam Bowie. That worked out well. Last night at 7, North Carolina's Kobe White, who actually broke Michael's freshman scoring record. And I get the draft is a crapshoot, but your thoughts on the newest Chicago Bull?
Well, it sounds to me like you're inferring that Kobe White is going to be better than Michael Jordan. Is that what you're saying?
In not so many words, like none.
I'm hearing that, my friend. I'm hearing a minimum 10 peak.
Yeah, starting in 2023, though.
No, starting next year. Anyway, you know, I have the same feelings about Kobe White that I had about Wendell Carter last year, and they were until I saw him play. Now, Wendell Carter made a believer out of me in summer league and even this past season. So I'm going to give Kobe White a chance. I'm not overly enamored with it. They do need some point guard. They just want to push Chris Dunn. I still think they need to sign a veteran, actually, as well. But he's intriguing. But, like, it's one of those things where, you know, it's just a crapshoot at that point. Like, is he going to be good? Is he not? I don't know. I really can't say. He can shoot it a little bit. He's fast, but he's not very long. He's not overly athletic. So, I don't know. I'm cool with it, mainly because I'm a Tar Heel fan, too. So, having a Tar Heel go to the Bulls is kind of cool. But we'll see. You know, I'll wait till Summer League and judge him off of that.
Yeah, and kind of ironic, being a Tar Heel fan, the enemy is Duke. Carter went to Duke, but he also got picked 7th last year.
Right.
So, the Blazers are in that spot where once upon a time it seemed like they always were. They were picking in the 20s. They've got limited maneuverability, I guess, with some of the contracts. And by the way, another Tar Heel with this kid, 6'6", but he is really, really, really long. And when conference play started this year, Little looked like a lottery pick, but falls to 25. So your thoughts and maybe obviously the buzz in Portland about this one.
Yeah, usually if you draft in the late 20s or mid to late 20s, or even just the 20s, period, you know, you're getting a guy that you're rolling the dice on could become good. Like, you're just, okay, he's got some traits. Hopefully he can become good. Most of them do not. Not, you know, good in terms of a firm, either a firm starter or a quality rotation guy getting 25 minutes or so, or let alone, you know, all-star obviously is even more of a pipe dream. So I've always felt like, it always makes sense to me, not that I've ever conducted a draft, that you might as well draft a guy with the biggest potential based on some traits that are akin to the traits of the superstar players, but clearly they were missing other traits that caused them to fall that maybe you can develop. So in this kid, you got a guy who's very athletic, like you said. He's very long. He probably underachieved in North Carolina, but if you see the things he didn't do well, can you coach him up? Can you fix them? And then, boom, you could have a player. And so that's what they did. So you look at a guy that, at the very least, you know physically can play at that level. Can you develop him skill-wise to get a steal? These things happen. They do happen. I still am amazed. Draymond Green was a second-round pick, right?
Right.
I still cannot believe that Giannis was the 14th or 15th pick. Like, he went after CJ McCollum. He could be a Blazer. So these things happen where guys with certain traits that are missing fall, but they get developed, and if they grow as a person, grow physically, they become a great player. So I think it was a good pick for them. I think the same thing they did with Anthony Simons last year. They took, you know, if Anthony Simons were coming out right now, and I remember saying this last year, the Blazer fans were all pissed off. He would have been a top 10 pick. I was saying that last year. You look at the draft, it's like Anthony Simons, if he played 1 year of college ball, there's no way he wouldn't have gone ahead of Kobe White. Because he's exactly, he has everything that Kobe White's missing. He's a little longer, a little bit more athletic. So the Blazers got a steal there, so maybe they got a steal here as well.
Yeah, I like that comparison. That's interesting. Same position, and obviously he flashed a little bit at the end. Couple final thoughts. Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest. The NBA Finals are a wrap. By the time the final gun sounded, Golden State was a little bit banged up. You think Toronto's got to feel like they won a lesser title? Or look, we know the deal. 82 games, 20 in the playoffs. You got to have depth. It's a grind. The winner sustains, and it's just hell. All hail the champs.
All right, before I get into this, let me just say, I am in no way, or was I ever in any way, glad to see Durant get hurt the first time. And him blowing out his Achilles is sad. I like Kevin Durant. He's a great player. Definitely an interesting player to watch. It sucks he's going to miss all of next season. That all said, regardless of how they lost, the Warriors lost. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It was awesome. And then watch my Warriors fans. Oh, we only lose because we lost Durant. You should have never had Durant. You should have never had him. You should have never gone there in the first place. This is karma. You didn't get your three-peat. Now he's either going to leave or sit on his butt for $31 million next year. And you got to suck it because Klay Thompson is going to be out too. How's that?
You feel better?
Yeah, I do. And I have family in the Bay Area. I lived in the Bay Area for a while. And I have family in the Bay Area. He's always talking trash. I have family in the Bay Area who didn't even know what the Warriors were until they started dominating. And then they're texting me all the time about the Warriors. I'm like, you didn't even like basketball 5 years ago. What are you talking about? So I was rubbing it into them big time. But again, I'm not happy anyone got hurt. I'm just happy they lost. That said, at the end of the day, winning a championship is not just about who the best team is, it's about who plays the best with who's available. And part of the grind and part of the run is staying healthy. It just is what it is. You cannot discount someone's title because another team had injuries. Otherwise, you could go back through history and discount tons of championships because someone somewhere got injured. You just can't do it. It just is what it is. Toronto deserved it. They won it. They've been good for a while. I mean, here's the other thing. One of the main reasons they won it is because LeBron left the East. If LeBron stays in the East, the East could never get by LeBron in the past. They did at Kawhi. Maybe that helps me. That doesn't. I don't know, but I will not take anything away from them. That said, if Klay and Durant were healthy, it would have been five games. Golden State would have won. But this is better for basketball that Toronto won.
So the last thing, it was a hell of a five-year run. And like you said, 7 years ago, I bet if you pulled 50% of the Warrior fans, they couldn't have named three guys on the roster. But that's besides the point. So are we secure now saying, like when Jordan and Pippen and Phil left, that, well, that's the end of that dynasty?
I'm not – okay, if Durant – okay, Clay's going to stay. I think that's almost guaranteed. If Durant stays and size long term, because he could just stay for this 1 year, collect his option money at $31 million, and then sign somewhere else next summer.
Right.
But if he stays, let's say he signs a long term deal starting next year, and Clay stays, then obviously next season they're not going to have a chance. But the following season, you'll have the big three back again. They'll all be a little older now because Durant's already 30, right? So he'll be 31, 32 going into next season. But that's still pretty young. I mean, he'll be fine. Then I think they're going to obviously have a chance to contend again. As long as those three are healthy and all under 35, they're going to still be the team to beat, I believe. Now that's of course, unless LeBron gets Kemba Walker and Anthony Davis, then you got to be a different story. But LeBron's getting up there too, man. He's 35. Like, people keep talking about this window with the Lakers. Like, hello? He's starting to decline already. That's not going to last forever. So they better win sooner rather than later. I think they have a chance to do it next year with the Warriors all banged up.
And not only that, but people have to understand with LeBron, and he just got hurt for the first time. You can't ignore that for a 35-year-old.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
All right. Good stuff. All covered. I feel better. I hope you feel better. He's out of Fentress. He's got to get back to winning the pennant for the Cubs with his son. You can catch the work he's up to on NBC Sports Northwest. On Twitter, it's at Aaron J. Fentress. Wishing you the best of luck and a lot of long home runs, Mr. Fentress. Have a good weekend. We'll talk soon.
All right, man. We're 3.5 games back of the Reds right now, so I'm a little freaked out, but we'll get it done. I'll keep you posted.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right, later.